Welcome to the program Blessed Among Men and Women with Father John Horgan, a program about the men and women the Holy Father has brought to the altar as blessed. And now, here's Father John Horgan.
Welcome to our series, Blessed Among Men and Women. My name is Father John Horgan. I am a priest of the Archdiocese of Vancouver in British Columbia, Canada, and I am your host for this series. Blessed Among Men and Women will present to you the lives of groups of saints and holy persons who have been raised to the honors of the altar by Pope John Paul II. In every age, the Lord raises up among us holy men and women, people of outstanding holiness, in whom their friends and neighbors can see the Spirit of God at work and recognize the finger of God present. These friends of the Lord are enthusiastic followers of Jesus Christ. They have been touched by His power, quickened by His grace, renewed by His love. They come from all times and places, from all cultural and ethnic groups, from all states of life. The saints whom we will speak about in this series are numbered among Christ's lay faithful, His consecrated priests, and His dedicated religious. We will meet martyrs, confessors, holy women, holy laymen, priests, bishops, and in short, all races and tribes and tongues. The one common thread that runs through all of these lives is a passionate commitment to Jesus Christ. These men and women who have heard the gospel have realized that all of us are but syllables of the one perfect word. Made whole by the love of Christ, revealed in His incarnation, and made perfect in His death on the cross, having been healed by this love, they are able in turn to heal and make others whole. They do this by the catching force of their lives, by their prayers in heaven, by their intercession for each one of us. And so we hope that this series will introduce you to the new friends of God, because it is my belief that the beatifications and canonizations of saints at a particular time, at a particular moment in the Church's history, are special signs of the Spirit's love. And so God wishes us to know these men and women now, so that their example may bear fruit in our lives, and so that we in turn can carry out and accomplish the vocation that Christ has for each one of us. The first of these blessed, whose lives we will speak of, is Father Clement Marchisio. Blessed Clement Marchisio was a parish priest and a religious founder. He was born on March 1, 1833, at Racconigi, near Turin. He was the firstborn of nine children, who almost all of whom died in very young age, of a poor cobbler named John Marchisio and his wife Lucia. Clement had a very naturally lively disposition and personality. Under the guidance of his mother, he learned to bend that iron will towards good things, and so from a very early age learned to serve Mass in his local parish church and to grow in a great desire to one day celebrate the Mass in a priestly vocation. His father would have liked his son to continue his own trade, but since the young boy showed such an inclination for study and such an aptitude for reading, he permitted him to attend the school that was held in the nearby town. A priest who came to know of the young man's desires for religious life and priestly life decided to take him under his wing, tutored him for examinations, and, in short, gave himself over to the care of the young man's studies. Because of this special help, Clement was able to enter the seminary at Bra and to take the cassock in the year 1849 when he was 16 years old. At that time, the courses of philosophy for students were held in the Archdiocesan Seminary of Chieri. But Clement Marchisio, who did not have the money to pay for such studies, was able to continue his own studies in his home village under the guidance of a priest who had a specialized degree in theology. This priest, Father Sacco, led him to a deep love for the Holy Scriptures. To the eyes of his fellow students, Clement appeared sometimes rather solitary, a loner, and a man of few words. But it was not due to any lack of affection that Marchisio presented himself in this fashion. Rather, his complete dedication to the Lord and his holy reverence, almost a holy fear, at the obligations and duties of the priesthood led him to devote all his time to the studies that were necessary. As soon as he was ordained priest in 1856, Father Clement asked to be admitted to 2 years of additional studies in the ecclesiastical convito, which had been founded in Turin next to the Church of St. Francis. There, under the guidance of St. Joseph Cafasso, who was the spiritual director to many of the priests of Turin, he was able to deepen his own studies in moral theology and to begin to become accustomed to working with the poor, prisoners, the sick, and the dying. At the same time, he profited from the life lived in common by the many priests who went to Father Cafasso for spiritual direction and stayed in the house to make their studies. Later, he will say to one of his friends, "I entered the convito as a young man with many careless thoughts, without knowing really what being a priest was all about, and I left that house completely changed." In 1858, Father Marchisio was named parish priest at Cambiano, but because his manner was perhaps too fulminating with lightning for the town, he changed parish very quickly. This first change of assignments was not a failure as much as an adjustment. And so, at Father Cafasso's suggestion, Marchisio was transferred to Vigone in 1859. Soon after, however, he decided to apply for the parish of Rivalba and came into his new parish in 1860, realizing very quickly that the work of this parish was very great. Forgetful of himself, he did not pay attention to the labors and sacrifices that were necessary, and gave himself over completely to overturning vice and to changing the spirit of the people of the parish. He preached against the unholiness of dancing, cursing, and festivals that were held on Sunday. "As long as I am alive, I will say everywhere and to everyone the truth, without any fear of gossip or of persecution. I cannot betray my conscience." This spirit of uprightness soon made great changes. But those who knew themselves guilty of these sins did not spare him affronts and injuries. Some walked out of the church during his sermons. Others smashed the door and windows of his rectory. Father Marchisio asked himself whether another parish priest would not better serve the parishioners, but this was not in the plan of divine providence. In fact, after a few months, the storm quieted down, and slowly he began to see successes in the parish life. Following on this bitter experience, the saint was often heard to say, "Oh, how necessary contradictions are. They make us walk with our head lowered in humility. They detach us from this earth. And they're a great stimulus to making us put all of our trust in God." Once the storm was over, Father Clement dedicated himself completely with a wonderful zeal, particularly to the children of the parish, especially those preparing for their first communion. He often said, "As long as I can, I will never neglect this work, which is one of the most important that a parish priest can have." In the midst of the children, he seemed transformed. His normally stern set of face and rough character was softened. He appeared affable and fatherly, even grandfatherly, towards all of them. The children loved to run over and speak to him on the street, and he would convince the parents to let them come and play in the rectory yard. He did all that he could to provide for their education, and for this reason he started a small kindergarten in the parish properties. Father Marchisio also dedicated himself to the care and religious instruction of the adults because he realized that only by understanding the faith could people have the desire to remain good, faithful, and moral. He preached to his people in a frank and clear, intimate, and pleasing way. The faithful remained deeply impressed when he would say in his sermons, "In a few years now, you and I will either be saints in heaven or charcoal in hell." For their care and for their ease, he redesigned the parish church, changing the building from being low and squalid into a much more beautiful one, inviting them to prayer and to spend time with the Lord in the Eucharist. After his first years in parish life, Father Marchisio was often invited to preach spiritual exercises, missions, and novenas in other parishes, which he did in the surrounding areas. In this way, he came to know and collaborate intimately with Blessed Frederick Albert, the founder of the Vincentian Sisters of the Immaculate Conception at the nearby town of Lanzo. Oftentimes, he gave also the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius at a nearby shrine. The spiritual fruits which he was able to bring forth, especially from men, were astonishing. He possessed the art of giving peace to souls to a very high degree. He was considered to be a man of great justice, and so in many legal matters and disputes, contending parties would often turn to him for a judgment. It was said, "One word from that priest is worth more than half a book from someone else." Among his parishioners, Father Marchisio always considered himself a teacher, a father, and a pastor. And these were accomplished first by deed and then by word. His nephew, Father John Marchisio, spoke of him as continually offering himself up on the altar of sacrifice for his people. And a nearby parish priest spoke of him after his death as being a textbook on all the virtues. The spirit of prayer was especially obvious in Father Marchisio's life. Every morning he would rise early and immediately go to the altar to begin his preparation for Holy Mass. He celebrated Mass with such dignity and such conviction that after the Eucharist was consecrated, his hands would often tremble between the time of the consecration and the moment of communion. When he traveled, he tried to hear the Masses of other priests as an act of devotion, and loved to participate in Eucharistic congresses, processions, visiting Marian sanctuaries, and undertaking any kind of business for the good of the Church. He used to say, "When I've heard Mass, I know that whatever I'm doing will go well." Holy Scripture was the object of his constant meditation and spiritual reading, and continued to inspire his prayer and preaching. The breviary was his preferred form of prayer because he recognized it as being the prayer of the whole priesthood, the prayer of the whole Church, made up so beautifully of passages from the Holy Bible and the writings of the Fathers. During his praying of the office, he would never wear a skull cap or beretta on his head, always leaving his head bare as a sign of reverence, and did not want to be disturbed except for the gravest of necessities. Every day he would make a short visit to Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament immediately after lunch, and another longer visit later in the afternoon. In honor of the Most Holy Virgin, whom he called his dear and good mother, he would pray the rosary alone or in the church with the faithful. Before going to bed, ordinarily at midnight, he would always kneel down on the pavement and recite his evening prayers. At the end of each year, on the 31st of December, he made certain that he was in church and before the Blessed Sacrament so that he could end one year well and begin anew in the presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. During the day, he lived constantly in the presence of God, and every so often, in order to stimulate his faith, would repeat, "God is good, God be blessed, God sees and provides, all for God, all is providence, all in the Lord, May the will of God be done. In carrying out his duties as a priest, Father Marchisio did not seek praise or adulation of any kind. He wanted everyone to act with quiet dignity and affability towards all. He made himself content only with what was necessary, and never sought luxury or unusual foods or furnishings or anything that would increase or affirm his own personal desires. Money for him was only an instrument to be used for the needs of the poor of the parish, whom he never allowed to lack anything. He always practiced a real poverty, knowing that the true riches of a man are to be found in his heart. Even the vestments that he wore at church, his cassock and rochets, were simple and plain. He said, "Elegant rochets and stoles serve more for personal ambition than for the worship of God." He practiced the fasts and abstinences of the church with quiet determination and devotion. In the afternoon, during the traditional time of siesta, he would rest only for a few minutes, leaning his head on his hands while seated at his desk. In his visitation to many other parishes, he realized that many churches did not have clean linens or the proper necessities for the celebration of the Mass. This troubled him. Already he had established in his parish a small school to train the young women of the parish. At first, this school was entrusted to the Albertine Sisters, founded by his friend, Blessed Frederick Albert. But when the sisters withdrew, Father Marchisio brought together four young women of the parish who had decided to leave the world and come to live in community. And he trained them, indeed, to teach the young women of the parish to sew and to have small careers for themselves, a business. Together with his realization that the Lord was not provided for in so many churches, Father Clement decided to begin a small religious community, which he would call the Daughters of St. Joseph. Their work would be to prepare all that was necessary for the celebration of Holy Mass, including the hosts and the wine, which would be changed into the precious body and blood of Jesus our Savior. Vocations increased very quickly. The first four sisters, after having received the habit, were joined by many others. The Sisters of St. Joseph began to spread to other cities as well. The founder always accompanied them personally. He multiplied his prayers and his penances that this small community would have success and that the spiritual life of each of the sisters would grow and increase. He put into practice the expression of St. Peter Julian Aimard, who was his contemporary, "All for the master, and for the servant, only the happiness of serving." Those who don't understand the work, the importance of this work, began to speak against him, saying that Father Marchisio had become a merchant instead of a parish priest. Others called him an exalted type or a madman because he was running the risk of failing in this work, and so many young women would have been put out in the street. Father Marchisio would never defend himself against these criticisms, and would only smile, saying, "I hope that in paradise there'll also be a place for madmen like me." From 1881 until 1889, he suffered a great persecution on the part of one of the parishioners who did not want the sisters crossing his property on their way to church. Father Marchisio was called to a public trial, but in fact won in a court of law. But the parishioner, who was so angry by the pastor's victory in this court case, broke a wooden stick across his face, breaking three of his teeth and causing him pain that he bore until the end of his life. With so many voices raised against him, Father Marchisio took his only solace in God. There were those who certainly appreciated his virtue, among them the future St. Pius X, who, as Cardinal Patriarch of Venice, said to the Daughters of St. Joseph, "Remember well every word that your founder speaks." he is a holy man. As long as he lived, the principal preoccupation and concern of Father Marchisio was his dedication to the formation of the Daughters of St. Joseph. He loved to hear their confessions, to visit one house after another, to give conferences to them, and to instill in their hearts a great love for Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. As he saw their devoted hands prepare linens and vestments, bake bread that would be turned into the hosts of the sacrifice, and grow and cultivate the grapes that would bring forth the precious blood of our Lord, he rejoiced within his own heart. To all the sisters scattered in so many different houses, he would write many letters of spiritual direction and treat of their spiritual life with the greatest care and respect and with a wisdom that could come only from the Holy Spirit himself. He told them, "In this institute of ours, we're not working for any gain, but for the glory of God." He did not allow them to advertise their works, but rather, by word of mouth and by the grace of the Spirit, he was sure that they would become known. "Remember," he would tell them, "you must be the victims of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament." And when the workload was heavy and frustrations multiplied, he would say, "How fortunate you are to be martyrs for Jesus in the Eucharist." In order that their work for the Mass and for the beauty of the churches of God might be truly rooted in prayer, Father Clement disposed in the rules of the Sisters of St. Joseph that they succeed one another in turn for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. When they had to open new houses, or when there were bills that had to be paid, he would say to the sisters, "Go to church and pray, and you will see that nothing will be lacking to you." One day, having to pay a creditor and not having any money at hand, he said to one of the novices, "Go into church and repeat to Jesus over and over on the beads of your rosary this prayer: Father needs money. Think about it." His simple trust in God caused great miracles every day of his life. One of his curates said of him later, "This man isn't like anyone else. There's something supernatural that works in him at all times." Father Marchisio, in his humility, did not hear these eulogies, this praise. He did not want to be called the founder of the Institute, nor its director, and never permitted that the sisters take his photograph. He even sought to destroy all the letters of spiritual direction that he had sent to the various houses. Imitating St. Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, he hoped that none of his words would be remembered, only his love and his prayer. Before his death, Father Marchisio, who had always said that we must obey the voice of the Pope as if it were the voice of God, had the great consolation of seeing his institute approved by Pope Leo XIII in 1901. He rejoiced in this because he knew that his own death was very near. In the month of June 1903, having prophesied that he would die in his 70th year, he began to have dizzy spells and acute pains in both ears. He was unable to rest night or day, but to everyone who asked him, he would say, "I'm not well, but Providence takes care of me." Having been returned to Turin after surgery, he said, "We're going to keep Jesus company on Calvary." On December 15th, 1903, because of the dizziness and vomiting spells, which were continuous, he was no longer able to celebrate Mass nor to pray his breviary. He went to bed and, after a few hours, was struck by a stroke while he was murmuring short prayers. Father Marchisio died the next day and was buried in the city cemetery at Rivalba, among the mourning of so many. During his funeral, there was no eulogy, for so he had specified in his will. Later, in 1920, his relics were moved into the parish church, the witness of so many ardent prayers and of such tireless zeal. In 1984, on September 30th, Pope John Paul II beatified this founder, whose sisters, the daughters of Saint Joseph, continue to offer a magnificent testimony of love. The daughters of Saint Joseph, among their many other works, care for all the altars in Saint Peter's Basilica, and are to be seen arranging flowers and extending the fresh linens on all of the altars where priests from all over the world come to celebrate Mass at the tomb of the Prince of the Apostles. May their work, for the glory of Jesus, present in the Most Blessed Sacrament, continue to inspire all of us with a dear love for Christ in the Eucharist. And in turn, taking the example of this holy priest's life, should we not, in our own parishes, in our own religious communities, in our schools, in every place of worship where we find ourselves, make certain that all is pleasing to Jesus, offering to Him all that is finest in art and in sacrifice? It is true that, though we may offer to our Lord all beautiful things, what He asks for most of all is hearts that will love Him. This, too, is our preparation for Holy Mass and for the coming of Jesus in the Eucharist in our hearts. Let us ask that Father Marchisio, Blessed Clement Marchisio, might inspire each one of us to prepare more worthily for the Holy Sacrifice and to love our parish churches.
Thank you for listening today to the program Blessed Among Men and Women with your host, Father John Horgan.